her beautiful butterfly, and she talks about showing it, and her neighbor woman says, "Let me see it."
The bags were all crumpled.
So that's kind of Miss Pam's worry. All right, go ahead. People grabbing these documents or whatever.
Oh, okay.
Not butterflies.
I was hoping it wasn't me. Okay.
No.
I was wondering where that was going. I'd like to start out with saying that I found out that Pastor Hain and I are sort of kindred spirits as far as history goes. In fact, in my editorial at the beginning, just sort of to introduce the book, introduce myself, I said that I love history, but it wasn't what I was taught in school. It was just, school was just, you learned about a battle, you learned when it took place, you learned who was the main general for it, and who won and lost, and that was about it.
Yeah.
That's not history to me. Nope. History is individuals and their lives, and it's all the soldiers that took part in the battle, that were part of it, right in the middle of it, and there. And that was one reason why I wanted to become historian when I heard that that was being offered as a new position in the church. I had always wanted to be around history and to do something with it, and this was my chance. Plus, Pastor had brought up the old books that had all the beginning minutes in them, and I thought, I want my hands on those books. I want to read it for myself. And that was another reason, because I wanted to make sure that whatever was written was told about the people who made up the church. It isn't a building, it's the people. And I wasn't disappointed in the minutes. I got to know the people, and even when it came to a point where one of them died, it was like, you know, a friend of mine, a fellow person here in church had died. So it's been a wonderful, wonderful experience. So are you going to show the one document, the one from 1748 or the days or that? I don't have it here. It was on your desk. But, I mean, we can leave it.
Oh, all right. Let me go get it.
Okay. Pastor was talking about how you'd open up a drawer, and that happened in the old library. You'd find old documents. You know, it was amazing. And this is one of the documents that was found. It wasn't found here in the church. I believe it was found in the Botens.
Well, Cynthia Stewart was a school teacher who taught in Corning for many years, never married. But she lived on the house that Tom Botens currently owns, all right? Just past the greenhouse, the next house there, Dennis Botens is living in it today. She lived there for many years and adopted the Botens family as her own family. When she died, they inherited. One of the magazines they had this document in it. I'll have one of the boys take it around. This document starts out talking about the King George II. From 1748, okay? One man in Dutchess County, New York, borrowed money from another man. And in order to do that, he had to get bonded. Just like if you were to be getting into prison, they, you know, put a bond up for you. He was bonded. That's why there was debtor prison. If he didn't pay it back, he's bonded. He goes to jail. And there's explaining how much was borrowed, how much is owed, and then some different men who signed and countersigned. And then somebody here wrote on here, medicine for a cow. A roots, wild, black, chicory, bark, mullein, sweet, but fern, and some things. So somebody had doodled on this, medicine for a cow, all right? Now the thing is, this particular document, I have offered it back to Tim Botens, because when the Botens gave it away, they thought it was a Civil War era document. Not that valuable, okay? So the Botens, if they said to me, no, we would like this document back, we would give it back, okay? But otherwise, the church will hold on to it as a historical item. So apparently someone in Cynthia Stewart's family is the one. But in fact, Dustin, why don't you grab it like I've got it there, and just kind of walk around where different folks can take a gander at it. And anybody who gives $100 can touch it. Yeah.
Okay. From what Pastor Haynes said this morning about the good things and the bad things in a church, I want to read the very beginning history, because within 9 years of this starting, this could have all been gone. You know, in that time frame, it's just impossible to think about us sitting here 200 years later, that it might have been not what it is. This I found is the Black Creek Church or Congregation Society, and it is the legal form of starting a church. And obviously it's not to date because it's done on a typewriter, but I included it in the book since it does show it sort of is our starting point. And it reads, Black Creek Church or Congregational Society, Rushford number 4. We certify that in the place at the time mentioned below, the people assembled due notice according to law, having been previously given and formed themselves into a religious society agreeably to the act of the legislature, and chose 3 persons, namely James Davison, John G. McKean, and Daniel Alexander, as trustees of a church or congregation, to be known hereafter by the name of the church or congregation of Black Creek, Rushford number 4. In witness whereof, we the undersigned, having been legally appointed inspectors of the election of trustees, as named above, do hereunto affix our hands and seals this day, first day of July, in the year of our Lord, 1822, Rushford, number 4 County of Allegheny, New York. And it was filed to record July 2nd, 1822 at 4 o'clock p.m., and it gives the page that the records are on. Edward Renwick was the clerk, John G. McKean and James Davison were the two that were from our church. So obviously this was not the very first, because the church had been around for a little while, because this is July 2nd, but we're celebrating it in June. And that's because the church was there for a month as far as getting the people together, and then decided, okay, we're going to form ourselves into a church. The committee of the Church of Black Creek appointed to form an introduction to the record of the church meet, and on investigation learned that a Presbyterian or congregational church was formed on Black Creek, Allegheny County, New York, on June 4th, 1822, by the Reverend Robert Hubbard, consisting of 6 members, of which John G. McKean was appointed deacon, that ever since, with a few exceptions, the public worship has been kept up on the creek on the Sabbath, that between and the before-mentioned date and November 1826, 13 were added, 12 by letter, and 1 by on profession of faith. At the last-mentioned date, the Reverend Reuben Hurd took the charge of the church under the parsonage of the AHM Society. From this time to November 25th, 1831, 70, principally under Mr. Hurd's ministry, were added to the church, of which 21 were received by letter and 49 on profession of faith. In September of 1831, at the low state of religion in the church, the Lord interposed for the revival of his cause. This good work commenced and was very powerful in the bounds of what is now constituted the limits of this church, but few families have shared more or less in this good work. We hope the Spirit that has not entirely forsaken us. All we would add it is to recommend to be inserted the last records of the old church. So it could have ended. And I will let you take this around. This is the very first minutes book. It started in the 1830s, but it refers back to the very beginning. And we have the records from then up until the present day. And that's amazing that we do, because I know someone else who is trying to do records of a church in Cuba, and they can't find anything. Isn't that sad? Yeah. So.
Here we go. Carefully. Open that up, Tim, and then.
Yeah, carefully. So at a meeting of the church held at the house of Reverend R. Hurd on the 25th of November in 1831, opened by prayer, Reverend Moses Hunter was chosen moderator and James D. Morris was chosen clerk. A request was then presented by a part of the members that this church should be divided. After the subject had been discussed and the question being put, it was unanimously agreed that the division should take place. It was then agreed that the Church of Black Creek met this evening for the purpose of being organized into a new church. Also that the Church of Hate might at the center on Sabbath of the next week at 12 o'clock a.m. for the same purpose, and that Reverend Moses Hunter be the moderator, first name meeting, and Micah Morris of the last mentioned meeting at the center. It was also voted that the records of the old church remain in the hands of James Davison for the use of either church, and in case of his removal, to be delivered to the clerk of either church. The minutes were approved, and the meeting was closed in prayer. So we learned two things. One thing was that the church was being held at the house of Reverend Hurd, who was one of the very first pastors. And in the next paragraph, I'm not going to read the whole thing, but a Mrs. Cheeseman also took over having the people come in for church, and that was at, after or on the 25th of November of 1831. Now I'm going to go to a historical sketch that sort of consolidates everything that happened. For several years, the Church of Black Creek has been in an unpleasant condition. The number of its members has been diminished by deaths, removals from the place, and in other more trying ways. The worship and ordinances of God have been very much neglected. Prejudices and divisions found their way to some extent in the church. Such was the prevalent darkness that despondency seems to have taken, to some extent, a strong hold on the minds of some. And almost all have had their fears as to the continuance of the church. Among the causes of this lamentable state of things have evidently the exertions made in this town to extend what is called new measures and unjustifiable endeavors to promote the interests of the church at the center have held the conspicuous places. While things were in this unhappy state, an attempt was made to unite this church with the Church of New Hudson without the consent and contrary to the wishes of quite a few of the members. From this time, the members of this church were claimed by the session of the Church of New Hudson as belonging to that church. And in the autumn of 1838, a different state of feeling began to show itself among those who had been members of the Church of Black Creek and who still viewed themselves as belonging to said church. They became united as were anxious to maintain the worship of God and sought and obtained the ministerial labors of Reverend Reuben Hurd as far as his feeble health would permit. In March of 1839, the Presbytery of Angelica held as adjourned meeting in this place with reference to the evils existing in the Church of New Hudson. The doings of the Presbytery were unfavorable to this church. They denied the existence of the church, and while they pretended to open the way for the formation of a congregational church, they virtually shut up the way. Though the members of this church honestly viewed themselves as the members of the Church of Black Creek and not as the members of the Church of New Hudson, yet out of regard to the decisions of the Presbytery and to the views and the feelings of the sessions of New Hudson, a number of them presented the following request to be said session. We, the undersigned, do not consider ourselves to be members of the Church of New Hudson. Yet if the session of said church view us as such, it is our request that they give us severally a letter of dismission from the above-mentioned church and a recommendation to the Congregational Church of Black Creek. We as the Congregationalists make this request. This request was dated March 2nd, 1839, soon after the above-mentioned meeting of the Presbytery. Barnabas J. Casterline and his wife made the following request at the same date. We, the undersigned members of the Church in New Hudson, request that they would give us severally a letter of dismission from the above-mentioned church and recommendation to the Congregational Church on Black Creek. We as Congregationalists make this request. These requests were not granted. The following is the resolution of the session of the Church of New Hudson in regard to them. Resolved that in view of the proceedings of the Presbytery, we cannot consistently comply with the request of Solomon McKean and 12 others. The reasons are we cannot at present time recognize a Congregational Church on Black Creek. This resolution was dated March 29th. This circumstance, these persons were under the necessity of going forward without letters. And let me just stop here for a minute. It talks about getting a letter of dismissal. And at first I thought, oh, that sounds sort of, you know, like they've been really bad and they're kicking them out. But that's not what it was at all. In fact, we have some of the letters of dismissal. And what it is, it just says, this certifies that you put in the person's name, is a member in good and regular standing of the, fill in the name of the church. As such, it is at their own request, hereby we dismiss and affectionately recommend to the fellowship and care of the whatever church they were going to, membership with the Christ, with this church will cease. Okay? And by letter means that they received a letter from another church saying that they were a member in good standing. And this is an example of this. This one was written in March 16th of 1901. And it's to the Black Creek Congregational Church from Elmira, New York. Greetings. This certifies that Reverend Mr. Schoonover is a member in good standing and regular attendance of the St. Luke's Congregational Church of Elmira, New York. As such, he is at his own request hereby dismissed and affectionately recommended to the fellowship and care of the Black Creek Congregational Church and has received by it his membership with this church will cease and by vote of the church, etc. So I'll have you send both of these around. But that's what they mean when they say that it's a letter of dismissal. It's just that they're leaving this church. They recommend that whatever church they go to, that they were in good standing here. The persons who had made the first of the foregoing requests convened on Saturday, the 6th of April, 1839, in the meeting house, according to the appointment for the purpose of attending to things necessary to their existence and welfare as the Church of Christ. Let me stop here for a minute for another clarification. It says here meeting house. As far as I can tell, there was no other meeting house built before 1850. So I'm wondering if maybe they called, like, Reverend Hurd's house, the meeting house, or Mrs. Cheeseman's house, the meeting house, on Sundays, because that's what it was. But there was no other meeting house built specifically. The Reverend Reuben Hurd met with them and officiated on occasion. Proper arrangements have been made. The following resolution was adopted. Resolved that in accordance with the recommendations of several ministers, considering ourselves a regularly organized congregational church, we deem it our duty as such from this time to procure the preaching of the gospel, the administration of the ordinances, and do all the other acts that a congregational church is authorized to do. The names of those who thus united together and were recognized as members of the church are the following, etc. On motion resolved that General S.S. Haight be appointed a committee to request the church book of the Church of Black Creek of James Davison, the clerk of the Church of New Hudson. Okay, so they admit.
That would be this book here.
Yep.
They had to fight to get it back.
Yep. Thank you. So fortunately, we became a church, but it was under much duress there for the first few years as to whether this church would even last. Okay, so let's see what I have here that I haven't shown. I guess we'll move up to 1850. Do you have the deed?
Right in here?
Yep. So in 1850, on February 28th, there was a dedication of the new meeting house. And this is a sketch of it. So if you would take that around.
Here's the deed.
And on the copy of the print that I have for that, it says the Congregational Church as seen from Mrs. Bell's porch. So must be she lived across the street or somewhere nearby, that she sat on her porch and looked over at the church and drew that picture of it. So we do have a picture of the 1850 church. And do you want to talk about how you found that?
Well, this is Eileen Burt, who lives down the road here, stopped by my house the other day and had the deed for the church from 1850. Her great-grandfather is the signatory on it. And their family just had it, all right? Out of the Van Fleets, a name when you go through here, you'll see it's a fairly common name for people who are here. And they paid $40 for this. So, you know, don't take it lightly that we have this, all right? And it's interesting, you see the trustees, and then it says sealed, and you can actually see where they took wax and pushed paper down onto it, which was their seal. But again, this shows you what a lawyer would have had to print this up. A printer in Angelica made this form, and a lawyer would have had to fill it out and then record it the deeds. So Dustin, why don't you take that around? But how kind for Mrs. Burt to have remembered us and, you know, put the church above her own family history. And that was a very kind thing for her to have done. By the way, the steps there on that church are underneath here. That back door in the kitchen that goes kind of there, if you go down there, you can see those old steps. And you can see exactly where those were. If the steps are possible to get them out, I'd like to do it, okay? For example, Ari Torrey used to use those steps. But if it's possible to get them out, I'd like to get them out at some point and get those steps out of there. Go ahead.
All right. Pastor Hain this morning was talking about different things that happened in history. And in the first book that we've passed around, we also have their feelings on the temperance movement and some of the things that went on there. We also have an entry for January 4th, 1861 that says a fast in accordance with a proclamation of the President of the United States was held at this church. And who was the president? Abraham Lincoln. We also have, where's this first one? Anyway, we had a man whose name was James R. Tubbs, and he joined our church, I think it was in 18, oh, right here it is, duh. James Tubb presented a letter of recommendation from the Congregational Church at Farmers Valley and requested admission as a member of this church, and his request was granted, and that was on May 11th, 1862. And then we have the entry, the next one here, is June 26th, 1864. Died this day James R. Tubbs, a member of this church. He was mortally wounded in the battle at, and he died from his wounds. But unfortunately, they never fill that blank in with what the battle was. I went and checked in one of the Civil War books, and the biggest battle that day was at Petersburg, Virginia.
That would make sense.
There were a regiment from New York. His name wasn't in it, and it wasn't the first regiment that he probably joined. But if you think about the way the war went, people in the regiments had to change often because sometimes almost full regiments would be killed. And so then they would join another New York residence, and I'm sure, And so I'm sure that they didn't stop and say, wait a minute, you can't go to battle until I get your name written down. So this could be where he died, is at at the Petersburg.
The other thing is, yes, there were some local New Yorkers who were fighting with Sherman. I know that because Margaret Botens, two of her uncles, used to tell her stories of Sherman's march they were on. So that's a possibility we can look into.
Right. Because I would like to have that settled, but we may never settle it. Who knows? One of my talks of a moment in history was about the Ladies' Aid Society. And I did tell you about them having different socials And some of those, just to refresh your memory, included the Harvest Festival, the Town Dinner, the Ice Cream Socials, Strawberry Socials, Sugar Socials, and English Tea Socials of the church. Do you get sort of the idea they like sugar? Everything sweet? A crate of berries containing 36 boxes cost $5.40 in 1886. The Ladies' Aid Society of the Congregational Church bought Mr. J. Smith's lot for a parsonage. They agreed to pay $100. So the first parsonage was built in 1882 at $1.25 per day, and payment for the nails used it was sold by Frank Stewart in 1922. That the parsonage was. And that is what, three doors down from here?
Two doors down.
Two doors.
Tom Botan's house.
Yeah. And this is a directory of the First Congregational Church. I read you the poem out of here and also all the advertisements. It also has a picture of the very first parsonage that we're talking about now. Let me just see if I can find a picture real fast. Well, Tim, you can find it for me.
Yeah.
So you can see the picture, because it has changed a little bit today. And then we come to the next book of minutes. And that's this one. It's in very poor shape, unfortunately. But in it, you're reading along, and everything's going along fine, and then you hit March 4th of 1898, and it has two words, church burned. They lost their church after just 48 years. So, but they're a strong group. They got together the next day and said, we're building. And so it was just... I think it was on the church burned on March 4th, and I think it was March 9th of the following year that the church was opened back up again. To fill in that space, there was a Methodist Episcopal Church right next door, and they offered their church as the place where we could hold our meetings. Sometimes they hold them jointly. Sometimes they said, we'll have our meeting at this time. You can have your meeting at this time. So they were very close. And if I can find it quickly, I have the, the call card of the pastor of that church. Let me just check and see.
Is that Cooley or Cook?
No.
Oh, the Methodist Church has this?
Yep.
Oh, okay.
Yep. This is the Methodist Church. You can talk.
I can talk.
Yes. Why don't you show them the other deed that you have in there?
Okay.
For this church.
Yep.
Fill the empty void. Do something.
That's right. It's nothing like me taking over, is there? That's what librarians do.
There are some various deeds associated with this. For one thing, the property here had to be made bigger in order to put the extension on the back of it there. So Ms. Weller ended up giving over a little bit of property, and the Botens gave a little bit of property to form what we presently have. But it also shows here, 1922, the deed for what is now the parsonage, or what is now Tom Botan's house. And then we have where they did a mortgage in order to build that. Actually, it's the, we have a mortgage where we bought that parsonage over there. Because at one point when the Methodists decided to get rid of their lot over here. That's why you have that old graveyard over there. That was the Methodist graveyard. Say, who's that land belong to? According to the state of New York, it belongs to itself. Okay? It's a graveyard. It belongs to itself. And But the thing is, the Methodists then sold that parsonage, and so we took out a loan, a mortgage, and this is the paperwork on that. Ashley can check, make sure it's all paid up. One of the marvelous things is looking at the handwriting of those people.
That's right. Yes,
sir. My father told me that children used to sit for hours and just make what would look like tornadoes laying down circles. Hours they would spend in class doing it until your hand could draw every single thing. That's why when you look at those people who grew up in that time, you could read what they wrote. Can't even read what I write when I'm using a typewriter. This here shows the overall plot. There's another one that shows what the Botens donated. Now there is some mix-up right now. The Allegheny County tax records show the property line running right through the church. They know it's all mixed up. Our trustees have authorized Tony Westfall to hire a surveyor to come and try to get this all new again. But right now you can't get any surveyors to come out and do it because real estate's so hot, they're just busy all over the place, all right? But that's that. I'm not sure anybody wants to see that particular passed around, but if you wanted to come up and take a look at that plat, you certainly could. Go ahead.
Thank you. These are just the programs for the dedication. You can pass those around.
Those are the actual programs from 1899. Yep. Those were leftovers. They were just in a drawer.
And this is the calling card for the pastor next door. He was Charles Arthur Vandermeulen. And it says, Pastor, Black Creek Methodist Episcopal Church, Abbott's Methodist Episcopal Church, Parsonage Phone, Cuba, 147F-2. Love the phone numbers back then. This was interesting. This is a manual of the principles, doctrine, and usages of congregational churches. And inside is a note, and it says, the destruction of the stereotype plates of this manual in the calamitous fire of Chicago has necessitated the printing of a new edition. The opportunity thus given to revise the work has been improved to reduce it to the smallest possible compass for the sake of a cheaper form and a wider circulation by the omission of all matter not strictly relevant to its purpose, but no essential fact or principle of the original edition has been omitted or altered. As a very brief digest of the principles of our congregational polity, it is commended to use of our churches. But isn't that interesting, the Chicago Fire, that this, we have this.
By the way, the congregational church is the church of the pilgrims. That's the church they formed. This was a church that sprang out of the Mayflower. And it's distinctly different than what the Puritans had. A lot of people don't realize the Puritans and the Pilgrims were two distinctly different groups. The other thing that's interesting about this is this would have been brand new, the hot thing to have, and it coincides with the time that R.A. Torrey was here. So if there's anything we have that may have been held by him, because he just got out of college, if anybody would have something like that, he probably would. So this, of all the items we have, is the highest possibility of something that he brought or used. There was a pulpit here until 2004 that he had used, and it disappeared.
Oh.
All right. And there was a lot of bitterness, a lot of things happened, and that pulpit disappeared. I don't know how authentic that was, but people believe he had used that pulpit. Why don't you take that around?
Yep. And this is the picture of our new church. Okay. Dustin? Oh, okay, you can do that too. This, I thought it was interesting. This contains prices and everything for the new building from the building committee. And in front of it, it's our presidents, and the president at that time was Grover Cleveland. And inside, you can read his biography. So I thought that was interesting.
In other words, when you buy a pad somewhere, there might be some kind of flowers or something out there with the president. But you'll find notes about things they used to buy this building, or to build this building.
Yes, we were fortunate they didn't throw away anything. This is a group of letters from various churches in the area, Friendship being one of them, Cuba being another, when our church burned. And offering us, like the Baptist church down in Cuba had just replaced lights. Could we use the lights that they had? So they would donate them to us. There's also the letters in here about the stained glass windows and the memorials that were put on them. There's also bills from all the different people who worked on the building, from the roof to the stained glass windows to the, everything and anything. I'm not going to take this apart, and it's very fragile because I don't want to lose anything. But it was an amazing read. And a lot of the, a number of the letters I put in the book.
Pretty soon we'll have everybody walking around.
That's right.
How do you open this?
You don't. Yeah. And this is the minutes about building the new church. And this was March 8th. Present to appointment, the SC committee met at James McElhaney, Mr. James McElhaney in the chair, so he was chairman of it. Prayer offered by Reverend Cooley. Roll of these minutes. James McElhaney, MV Hatch, J. Chase, etc. Moved and voted that all monies received by any one of the committee of or the trustees must be receipted for, and that meeting in the ME Church at 1:30 p.m. voted to make the time limit for the payment of subscriptions November 1st, 1898. But if there are any who wish longer time, special arrangements will be made for them. So they're making subscriptions of the people saying, how much can you give to the church? What will you promise to give? And so this is the book where that was kept so that they could pay for the building of the church.
Tim Escarikas was a dude on the front.
That's right. Oh, there's a picture of Marcy. I think most of you might have seen this when I presented on the lady that died and in her will left $1,000 to our church, but when they divided up the will, there wasn't the money left. And so they bought two different stocks. They said you can either have two shares of the Illinois Electric Company or you could have two shares of a bond from Australia. And remember, we talked about it, and they took the bond from Australia because this was done in 1932, and that was just prior to the stock market crash. And they had the bonds kept in the community bank down in Cuba, and we have the receipt in case they didn't use that bond. We could get it and use it. But then I kept reading, and I think it was in 1956 they decided to put rugs in the church, and so they went and cashed it. But there's the receipt hooked to the page with a straight pin because they didn't have, the paper clips or staplers or anything else. So you can take that around.
Pleasure.
Thank you.
Thank you, sir.
Okay. when I was back there in the library, when it was the old library, I was looking through things and I found this letter, speaking of things that you find in places around here. And it said, Dear Amelia, we thought best to put the minutes of the meeting here for you to copy on the book so as not to change the hand. I send Mr. Ricker's bill itemized and paid it in your name. As you were not here and kept the remainder of $4.42 and gave it for a table purchase, did nothing with the punch coins, with the whatever. Anyway, it's minutes of a meeting of a ladies' club. And that week, I belonged to the Cuba Current Topic Club. And that was organized in 1897, and it just so happened that the secretary wasn't going to be there, so I took the minutes. And I read this, and I thought, wow, that just happened to me. You know, I had an instant connection with this person. And then I looked at the date, and it's June 8th of 1883. Who knew? So there's that. We had some very talented pastors at the church. This one was George Evans, and he was there, I think, in the 1890s. And he wrote a song that was published in Salamanca. It was the Young American Print, Salamanca, New York. And unfortunately, something got on it, so we don't have all the words. And I was trying to find the original, or, you know, if it was still around, but I couldn't. But it's really very interesting. But this would have been back there. It's a song of Black Creek by the Reverend George Evans. You may talk of large towns and cities so great and of other places all over the state, but I want for a while, if you'll listen to me, to sing of a place in Allegheny County. So lend me your ears and don't make a noise. Sit still and be quiet like good girls and boys. For this wonderful place, I'll name it right quick, is none other than our gritty Black Creek, and so on and so forth. It's similar to the poem that C.W. Arthur wrote about Black Creek. I don't know if anybody wants to see that or not. That we don't need.
You know, one of the differences between Cattaraugus County and Allegheny County is in Cattaraugus County, you go down to the creek, you're going to go fishing or anything, but a proper name, the Cattaraugus Creek, the Ishway Creek. When you get to Allegheny County, even the proper name, Black Creek. You'll hear the old people call it not Creek. And even there in the rhyming, you'll hear that Creek, you know.
This is the ordination services for Charles W. Arthur on Tuesday evening of June 24th at 8 o'clock, and the year was 1902. And there's a picture of the new pastor and a picture of the new church on the back. So that can be passed around. And then on June 3rd and 4th of 1922, of course, we had the 100th anniversary, and the Reverend Frank G. Andrus was minister then. So there's that one. Neat. And this is one of the bulletins from the 1949 when Elmer M. Francisco was pastor. We have his.
Elmer Francisco was a great man. Dick Botens got saved under his ministry. Beverly Harbeck got put together with her husband by who actually broke her up with another man. And put her together with Dick Harbeck, all right? I think at that time they envisioned, you know, Tiffany and Jennifer and knew that that would be a much better combination. He was also my school bus driver in the 1960s. But he's the one who began the process to make this into a Baptist church because the Congregationalists had gone so liberal. He's also the one that upstairs, there used to be the eating hall up there, and all this was kitchen. When he got here in 1948, at election time, the church would have a breakfast for everybody who voted, they'd charge. And he came in here with a whip and kicked tables over, and that was about the last time this church was ever going to sell its wares to the public. And he cleaned that out. It was not done again.
We've had other dedications throughout, or other observances, like the 145th year. We've had the 175th year. We've had the 150th year. We've had a bunch of them. And now we are celebrating the 200th year, which is amazing. And I'm only sorry that the books did not...
They will come. Young lady,
yes,
were you
will.
Here in 1972?
No.
No? Okay. That was one of the... This is a place setting in 1972. And they made little church at place settings. How many people here vote that we send? We have four of them. Send one home to Beverly Harbeck. How many people vote to do that? All right, let's send one back to since she was there, and we have four of them.
Thank you. Does anybody have any questions or comments?
Ms. Sharon, we have something here for our church historian.
I get a book?
Well, you can put up with what I wrote. Sure, we got a bunch of them over there.
I know, I have.
You got some from Brother Coates?
Oh, my goodness.
Pam, we want to thank you so much from all of us at Black
Creek. Oh, thank you.
For all the work you've done. We appreciate it. We
love
you.
Wow. Thank you very much.
You're welcome.
Oh, these are beautiful.
Quickly, and again, Ms. Pam has labored on when these books come out, they come out. All right, how many of you had printed?
60.
Okay, we got a few people, for example, Ms. Joyce, you'll certainly be able to have one of those. There's a few other people have asked. We're gonna have a very quick business meeting now, and we just have a couple things to look at so that we can undefinculate these phones. All right.